We want more and more of you. Would you pray with me, Father God? It is our desire that this year in 2019, we could say, Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desire. We want more and more of you, Jesus. That is our desire. That is our prayer. That is our hope. And Father God, have your way among us this year in 2019. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'll ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And while you're turning, let me give you a little information. The month of January, we don't necessarily have a specific, there is a theme for our message series for January. It's not a true series, but the theme is the word shine. And the reason we're using this is over the next few weeks, we will look at three distinct Bible passages that deal with the fact that the light of Jesus has been given to us and we are called to share that light in the world. And all of this is going to culminate with our 8th annual Advance 2020 Missions Conference. It's hard to believe that this will be our 8th conference coming up January 25th through the 27th. And I want to ask you to take just a moment now as we begin the message. If you'll take out the Missions Conference brochure, you were handed one when you came in. We're going to look at them together here in this room and in the venue. If you'll take a moment, I just want to highlight a few things for you to get you to be praying about it for the next couple of weeks. If you open it up on the inside cover, it's just a letter from me, and I would encourage you to read that later, not right now, but when you've got some time. It just kind of spells out different things that are happening. Something to celebrate. You can see on the next page there all of our mission support for 2018. We always want our people to know exactly where your funds are going. So in addition to all the local ministry and things that are happening and all the stuff that we do here, the way we fund mission, this is what's happened around the world. And I'm very thankful to see how you have given, how you have taken time to go, and how you have prayed and sacrificed so that others could hear the gospel. So thank you for being faithful to give. You'll notice it's varied amounts for varied ministries. Some are listed as two places on here because they receive double amounts of funds in different ways. But we want to invest in the kingdom of God here locally and around the world. And this is just one of the ways we do that. If you'll look at the next page, you'll see the schedule. And this is what I want you to look at with me for a moment. On Friday, if you'll be praying for our missionaries, our staff, and our missions team, and a few other key volunteers help us, and we have what we call Missionary Blessing Day. The men, all the missionaries, we take them one place and do nice things for them. The ladies, another place. The teenagers who are guest missionaries with us, another place. And the children. And so we have a great day plan for all of those. So we're praying for them. We give them time to hang out together, to get to know one another. People from all over the world coming together, meeting for the first time. But they share in common that their life's about sharing the gospel. So be praying for them as we have them gathered together. Your first part to participate is Friday evening, January the 25th for the missions banquet. Please make plans to attend. And know that it will be a great banquet. It's catered by Local Joe's this year. And so it'll be some good food that evening. And then our guest speaker is Sean Pillay. Sean was with us on a Sunday morning back in 2013. Sean, at that point, was serving in New England as a church planter. But he is now the pastor of missions and evangelism at Olive Baptist, one of the largest churches in our convention in Pensacola, Florida. Sean is originally from South Africa, and he has quite a story to tell. And so we want to invite you to make sure you're there for the banquet. You'll get to meet all the missionaries and to look at the Mission Expo, all the booths and things that are happening. Then on Saturday, all of our small groups are gathering in different locations, all of our Sunday school groups, so that they can hear from different missionaries. There'll be one missionary at 11 a.m., another one at noon. You'll just gather with your Sunday school group and stay there for the entire 2 hours and share a meal together and hear up close and personal stories from these missionaries. It's a great time and you're going to want to be there. If you're not a part of a Sunday school small group, you can join anyone you would like to for this day. And they're all listed on the next page where they'll be meeting and the times that they'll be meeting on Saturday and on Sunday. So take a look at that. Then on Sunday, another speaker at the 9 a.m. hour there during the Bible study hour for your Sunday school class. The worship celebration is always one of the highlights of the year. excuse me, here that day, right here in this service from at 10:15. My brother, Patrick Johnson, who helped lead worship for us last year, will be back again this year to help lead worship for that as well as part of our whole band and team and all that will be participating. We've got some special thing planned. You're going to want to be there. Then on Sunday evening, we have Caleb and Kelsey in concert. Their videos were playing pre-service. Basically, their videos have been viewed well over 100 million times on the internet. They have become an internet sensation in a lot of ways, but they take acoustic worship songs and blend them together. It's beautiful. You will enjoy it and invite you to participate. Really quickly, if you'll look at the next page of the missionaries, I'd like to show you who's going to be here really quickly as we dive in. First of all, now I'm not going to read all these names out loud. Some of them for security reasons I won't over the internet, but Josh and Kim Moody will be back with us. Josh is now no longer working with Four Corners Ministries, though Four Corners will be represented at our conference. But Josh is now working for Lifeline Children's Services out of Birmingham. They help with adoptions all over the world, but he's in charge of what's called the unadopted program. And that is, there are a number of countries where children cannot be adopted from. And so they do ministry there for them, and churches partner with them. So he'll be here to talk about that and their last few months of time with Four Corners. Ty Harris from Amazon Hope will be with us. The Tenier family will be back from the Dominican Republic. They were a great hit last year, and they look forward to being here again this year. The next family, I'm not going to mention by name on the internet or radio, but they are serving in a secure region in Central Asia. You can see their picture there, and we'll just call them J and A, the first names of the husband and wife there. They'll be serving. You will enjoy getting to know them. Courtney Nazaire will be back with us, who is serving on two different college campuses in the Pennsylvania, in the Jersey, Pennsylvania area, and so you'll enjoy meeting her again. You'll remember that she is the daughter of Usley Fontaine, who was active in our church until she moved out of state. Usley will be with her this weekend. The Porch family, David and Holly Porch, they were just starting their fundraising efforts last year at our missions conference. They have spent the entire year raising support to be ready to move to Senegal, and they're moving in April. So they're right on. They've had all their training. They're ready to go, but they're going to be with us for the conference. Preston and Megan Egler, if you look at the top of the next page, Preston and Megan serve as church planters in Anchorage, Alaska. The need is great. It's a dark place there, and the gospel needs to shine bright there. And so they'll be here to share with us. Charles and Ruby Price, he pastors the church in Kentucky that we've been partnering with the last few years for family mission trips. And so we'll be having another trip this summer. They'll be with us. And Ivan Makulu. Ivan's wife was going to be with him, but she had a baby on December the 17th. So we're going to give her a pass. And so he'll be with us. He is from Uganda, and he's serving in Uganda, but he's stateside now so his wife could have the baby. She's from Pensacola. So they'll be with us. It's going to be a great opportunity. I just can't wait to see all that's going to happen. And I really want to encourage you to participate. Now, a number of you have already asked me about this because you have heard me say, because of my upcoming surgery, I'm not going to be here for the conference at all. I'm not. But I want to say, so someone said, well, then I don't have to come if you're not going to be here. What I want to say to you is Jesus is watching you. And so am I. Listen, it's going to be great. Everything is organized and ready. It's going to be a great time. Participate. If you could do a favor for me, be here. Come Friday night. Come Saturday. Come Sunday. If you haven't signed up for the banquet yet on your registration, do it right now. And you can turn in at the end of the service. So the theme for that conference is shine. Why shine? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, 1. It says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning and to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Now, what is that saying? It's basically saying we're not attempting to distort God's truth by changing it or watering it down. We want people to see the true light of the gospel. Look at verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The perishing gets those who are lost. Verse 4, in their case, the God of this world, that's little g, that's Satan, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful passage that Paul gives us. And he's reminding us this, that we are to proclaim Jesus as Lord. We do it by our actions. We do it by our words and our deeds. And it's the way that we shine the light of Jesus. But as this passage alludes to, why are so many still refusing the gospel? Why is it that so many people still say no to Jesus? Well, this passage speaks to that. Look at what it says in verse 4 again. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 3 says that the gospel's veiled to many unbelievers. Now, why does he use this word veiled? Where does that come from? If you're reading all of 2 Corinthians, and really you should always try to put it in context, if you go back to chapter 3, you see Paul refers to this idea of a veil. In chapter 3, he talks about Moses quite a bit. He talks about the fact that when Moses received the Ten Commandments, he had the glory of the Lord shining on him. And when he came off the mountain, he put a veil over his face because the radiance of God was still reflecting on him. Moses knew that that radiance was going to fade, and he didn't want the rest of the Israelites to see the radiance of God's glory fade on him. So he put a veil over his face. Turn back the page, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Read what Paul says about that. 2 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ Jesus is it taken away. Verse 15, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Verse 16, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, to the lost, the gospel is veiled. Which begs a question that makes sense to ask. Is God hiding his truth because he doesn't want people to turn to Jesus? No, absolutely not. Verse 4 again of chapter 4 gives us the reason. It says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. So, who's the God of this world? It is Satan. It's very clear. Ephesians 2 tells us that. Matthew 4 tells us that. John 12 tells us that. Satan is the little g God of this world. So, how has Satan blinded the minds and the hearts of unbelievers? Well, the Bible doesn't really give us one particular answer, just one specific answer. No, instead, it gives us multiple answers as to how Satan, the true deceiver, has blinded the hearts of men. So I want to give you really quickly a few tools of the enemy that are used to blind the hearts and minds of unbelievers. First, it's very simple. It's pride. Pride is probably the main weapon of the enemy. It's that idea that says this, surely life is about me. It's the idea that says, surely the narrow view of God's word of scripture only applies to me if I want it to. If I find a better truth, then that's the truth for me. Listen, that doesn't work. I'll give you an example. It is beautiful today. I'm so thankful that we've had 2 days of sunshine. And the last 30 days have been full of rain. And as it has rained over and over and over again, if you declared in the middle of one of those days, well, for me, for what's true for me, it's not going to rain every day. Well, friend, it did, is what I'm saying to you. And so you can't change that. We don't change reality. Absolute truth is not changed by your opinion or mine. Absolute truth is not changed by our opinion. So one of the great tools of the enemy is pride. It's feeling like we can know truth even when we distort it at times. A second tool of the enemy that blinds the hearts of unbelievers is, this one may surprise you somewhat, affluence. It's the very idea that we have so much that we lose sight of what is so important. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have the story of the rich young ruler. And do you remember what it said about him? He went away sad. Why? Because he had great wealth. He had much wealth. Listen, that's sort of the story of America in a lot of ways, and other places in the world as well. You see, the enemy has found a way to convince people that life on earth is better than eternity with God. That sounds strange to say out loud. As a believer, you think, I would never think that. Well, we can be guilty of that as well. It's real easy to be so enjoying life on this earth that we forget how much eternity with God is better. Let me give you an example to help this make sense. I remember when my oldest son, Will, who is 17 and 6'1" now, and I look up to him like this, and when I have to get onto him, big, big young man, handsome young man. He wanted to hear me say that, I'm sure. He's in the venue right now. But I can remember when Will was about 3 years old, and 3 and 4 and 5, all he wanted to eat, if we went out to eat, were chicken fingers. That's all he wanted to eat. Chicken fingers or grilled cheese sandwiches. And I got nothing against chicken. I like chicken. And I have nothing against grilled cheese. I like grilled cheese. But I have more discernible palate. I like other things as well. But I can remember Will. I remember one time we went to this restaurant. Restaurant's a stretch. When we lived in Maine, there was this little, it was a greasy spoon joint, a little small dive, and it was called Bowley's. Bowley's hot dogs, but they had all kinds of stuff, not just hot dogs. And it's a pretty, I mean, you could literally see the grease on the wall, but then that's another story. But we would go in there, and then you come out, and you get the aroma of Bowley's for the rest of the day. Everybody understand? You know where that place is around here, but I'm not going to call it by name. But you have one of those. You understand what I mean. We were in Bowley's, and I'm sitting there with Will, and he orders the grilled cheese. And so they bring it to him, but this grilled cheese has white cheese instead of the yellow cheese like he is used to. He's 3.5 years old. So he sees this cheese and he stands up and starts walking off. I said, where are you going, son? He said, I'm going to step into the kitchen and have a word with the chef, is what he said to me. I said, no, son. I said, first of all, there's no chef here, okay? But we're not going to step in the kitchen and have a word with the chef. We're just going to eat the grilled cheese. But that was it. Now, listen. A few years later, and it took a few years, he would tell you right now, he'll tell people sitting around him, I finally convinced him to try a bite of steak. And once I convinced him to eat a good piece of steak, now everywhere he goes, he doesn't order chicken fingers. He wants a filet or a ribeye. And I don't blame him at all. I mean, I'm one proud dad. I mean, I get it, But it took, you know, he was, as a child, you've all got children just like mine that were the same way. They were stuck on something, and it was much later in life before they realized how much better and more was out there to eat and enjoy. But what's sad is that is much like the affluence of our lives. It's like chicken fingers. We think it is something so amazing and incredible. And again, nothing wrong with chicken, but we think it is just the best thing possibly out there. And so we are deceived by this idea that anything could be better than life on this earth, when the truth is there's filet mignon waiting on us for all eternity. It's the idea that we get stuck in our minds and we can be at a place where we lose focus because it just seems so right now. I have experienced that in my own life. I tell you, in there's a Christian comedian, Tim Hawkins, and he has a little bit he does where he talks about this and about the fact that someday we're all going to die, and that he says, just like a good Christian, I tell everybody I'm not afraid to die. He said, no, I don't want to be anytime soon, and I agree with him. He said, but I'm not afraid. He said, but in fact, I don't even want to be in the same room with me when I die. He says, I just don't want to. He says, I'm a little scared, nervous about that, because life on this earth seems so good in so many ways. And what we read about in God's word seems so real and wonderful, but we've not yet experienced it. And because of somewhat of the unknown, we lose sight, we lose focus. And so many in this world, simply their own joy of the world keeps them from even understanding their need for Jesus. So Satan has found a way to take and elevate our, what I would call our puny affluence, over the majesty of the Creator. And people have bought it hook, line, and sinker. Another tool of the enemy that he uses to blind the minds of people is simply distraction. It's just distraction. The cares of this world overpower the reality of the eternal world. It keeps people from thinking about Jesus. It keeps believers from telling other people about Jesus. And the busyness of this life has hidden truth right before people's eyes. We live in a busy society, and we can get so busy that we lose focus of the fact that this is all temporary. There are eternal things that will last forever, and God is at work in the eternal realm, but we get stuck on just focusing on the here and now. I love little hidden word pictures. It's those pictures that are sometimes in the newspaper or children's magazines or things like that that show a picture, and they've hidden written words in the images. An artist has done so, and you have to work to find them. I've got one we're going to put on the screen in both rooms right now, so let's do that, and I want you to take a look at these. Now, in this image, there are six words that have to do with reading or a book or things like that. Six words hidden in this image. I'm going to give you just a couple seconds to look for them, and then I'm going to point them out. Now, some of you are sitting pretty far away, but they're pretty big. And so I have just a small version of it right here. Anybody finding any? Raise your hand if you found one. Anybody? Okay, great. Let me point them out to you here and see if you can find them. If you look in the recliner of the gentleman, down on the bottom of the recliner and onto the footrest, it says the word novel. Everybody see that now? Ah. If you look on the eyeglasses of the man into the lamp, it says the word book. Do you see that? B-O-O-K. Aha. If you look at the lady in what she's wearing on her top, from her orange hair over to her red pants, across the book, it says the word story. And you see it there, hard to find if you're not looking. If you look in the tree, the very bottom of the leaves, what's the word? Words. Words is the word. In the young man's pants and his shirt across, laying across the couch, it says the word page. And then down from the dog into the little girl's hair, from his ears, it says the word read. So you have all these words that, the truth is, some of you are thinking, I would have never found five of those or four of those or three of those. The idea behind this image is there's so much color and lines and detail and things to see that it's a distraction. It's meant to distract you from seeing what's right before your eyes. But now if I say, do you see the word novel? You can't miss it. If I say, do you see the word book? You can't miss it. The word story? You can't miss it. The word word? You can't miss it. That's what happens in life. We have a great enemy. We can come back off those pictures now. We have a great enemy who seeks to distract us with just life happenings, the busyness of life. And I would basically allude to the fact that that's exactly what's happening in your life and mine. The very truth of God that is right before us in plain sight becomes somewhat distracted and distant from us and for billions of people. Why? Because life is just happening. It's busy. There are things going on. People simply lose focus. The last blinding tool of the enemy that I'll mention really quickly is simply this: darkness. Just darkness. There are people in this world, not many here in this country, but there are people in this world who have simply never heard the name of Jesus or the story of Jesus. There are people in this world who live in dark, desperate places, and they have no hope apart from Jesus' plan. No hope at all. So my question to you is this: in those dark, desperate places, if they have no hope apart from Jesus' plan, what is Jesus' plan? Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 again. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Friends, you are Jesus' plan. I am Jesus' plan. Look what it says here. It reminds me of this. In the first creation, God spoke and said, let there be light. Let light shine out of darkness. So God spoke a personal word in the first creation, and light was created from darkness. Well, in the new creation of salvation, God didn't speak a word. God performed a personal act, and he made his light shine in you and me. He sent his son to die for us. It was more than a spoken word. It was an act that was made. And he put his light, he made his light, as the scripture says, to shine in our hearts. So now we're called to shine the light of the gospel, shine the light to the world in need. So what I would remind you of are those things that distract us. You are the antidote to those things. I am the antidote to those things, the grace of God in us. Satan uses pride to blind lost people. God calls us to humble service for the cause of the gospel. Look what that verse says again. He says, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. It's humble service that is the antidote to pride. You can show people what it means to walk with Christ. Satan uses affluence to blind lost people. God asks you and I to model proper perspective. We're called to speak truth. And we're called to speak the truth, but also to live the truth in our priorities. They're supposed to reflect that. Other people are watching us. So we're the antidote to that idea of just affluence ruling the day. We can show people that even in our own American affluence, and we're very affluent people, even in our affluence, that we know there is something so much greater than just the things we have. There's something so much greater, and it is the eternal God who loves us and has relationship with us. And then Satan simply uses distractions to blind lost people. And God has called you and I to reflect his light with our words, with our actions, with our reactions, and with our love so that others can spot the truth, even in a crowded picture like that last picture you saw. It's going to be hard for them to pick out what's real and what's counterfeit. But if you and I are living the gospel and living the truth, listen, they'll see it for what it really is. So I encourage you to do that. Satan uses dark places of the world to slow the gospel message. But what I would remind you is a statement you've heard me make as your pastor probably 20 times in the last 7.5 years, and that is this: there are no God-forsaken places on this planet. There are only church-forsaken places on this planet. There's no place on planet Earth where God does not love every person that is there, where God does not desire that they would hear the gospel message. But there are places that the church simply has not penetrated the darkness. The church is not gone. So what does that mean for us? How are we the antidote for that? We can pray, we can give, and we can go like never before. And not just to the easy to reach places. Listen, we can go to those places that need the gospel desperately. So my prayer is that God would give us a burden to reach the hopeless people of the world. There are hopeless people in Marshall County, and there are hopeless people all over the world. So what about you? What about you? What is the next step for you and for me? Well, a few things I would say to you real quickly. First is this, is to humble yourself. It's the idea that we are to humble ourselves. We serve others on mission, local and abroad. If we want to shine his light, we humble ourselves in an attitude of service. Second, check your priorities. Find a place where you stop and look at your own life and you ask these questions. Am I giving faithfully to eternal things of my finances, of my time, of my talents? Am I wasting them on things that aren't going to last, or am I making a difference in eternal things? Listen, the beginning of 2019 is the perfect time to make a renewed priority to invest in the kingdom of God with your money, with your time, with your service, all of who we are being about being used for his glory. Third, I would say this is what we can do. We can speak and live truth and grace. We can speak and live the truth of God and the grace of God. And that's done with our actions, and it's done with our words. And so we make a commitment. For some, it means you need to be committed to share the gospel. You've got someone you need to share with verbally, and you know it. For others, it's to begin to live that out, because you realize if you tried to share it now, your life has not shown them what that means. So you want to start by living it and live that out. And then lastly, maybe for some in this room, is that you need to today, in 2019, the beginning of this year, you personally, not our church, but you personally, You need to adopt a dark place in the world and invest your life there. And I mean, you may need to figure out a place where you know the gospel's not penetrating yet, or a neighborhood, even locally, where you know it seems people are very distorted in their understanding of who he is. So yours may be halfway around the world, or it might be just down the road. But the truth is, I would ask you personally to adopt a place that God could give you a passion for, that you could pray about on a daily basis, that you could give of your finances to, maybe that you could go and serve in different ways. With our mission partners who are coming with us, listen, some of us need to put on our hearts that we will adopt Central Asia. We now have 3 different missionary families serving in the Central Asia region. That's a big region, but all those are dark, desperate places for the gospel. Maybe God's calling you to go and serve. Maybe God's calling you to help for a week. Maybe he just wants you to support in a different way. Maybe it's on the Amazon River in the middle of Brazil, in a place where there are some remote places that do not have a strong gospel presence, no church there, and you want to adopt part of that ministry through Amazon Hope. Maybe for you, it's that you want to be a part of what's happening in Lebanon as Syrian refugees are hearing the gospel. We have 3 ladies in our church who are headed to Lebanon to serve in just about a month and a half. And maybe you want to partner with them in some way, helping them to go, committing to pray for them. We can put you in contact and make that happen. Maybe for others, maybe God's calling you when we go this summer to be a part of the trip to Alaska. Remember, I shared the statistic a couple of months ago. In Anchorage, Alaska, in the school system in Anchorage, Alaska, believe it or not, over 160 languages are spoken in that one school system. People from all over the world living in that place, bringing all kinds of cultures that do not include the gospel. So many people who need to hear about Jesus. Maybe God just wants you to begin to pray for them, to partner with them. Maybe you need to go and serve in some way. Whatever the case may be, I would ask you, not us corporately, because we're going to continue to do what we do corporately. We're going to partner and shine the light of the gospel for the glory of God around the world. But what about you personally? What is God saying to you today? He has shown his light in you. So where is he telling you to reflect that light out? Would you join me in prayer? With our heads bowed and eyes closed. What about you? Would you take just a moment right now to stop and reflect in your own life what it is God is saying to you? Maybe for you, it's that you need to realize that it's time for you to change some priorities, that you have allowed the cares of this world to get in the way. So maybe you want to get on your knees and pray about that a minute. That's fine. Maybe for you, it's that God has given you someone in your life that you know needs to hear the gospel, and they need to hear it clearly, and so he's calling you to go ahead and to share that. Maybe you just want to pray about that today. Maybe for you, it's that God's already laid on your heart what place it is in the world, or what place it is in our community, or what people group it is that he wants you to adopt in 2019, to pray for them, to have a burden for them, to support in some way, and to make sure the gospel ends up there. Listen, if that's the case, would you come and just get on your knees and make a commitment, solidifying that that's what you're going to do, that you will follow through on that. Put your yes on the table. Maybe for others, God's calling you to unite with this faith family. You want to come be a part of what God is doing right here among us as we try to make a difference around the world. We'd welcome you. Maybe you want to give your life to Jesus. You've heard the gospel and where he shines his light in our hearts, and you desperately want the light of Jesus in your life. Whatever God is saying, would you respond in this moment? Father God, please have your way among us now as we continue on in worship. May we respond to you in the way you call us to. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. Would you respond? Would you come as God directs?